Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Last night, John Lester looked like, well, John Lester. Tonight, Cole Hamels returns to the scene of his first start in a Chicago Cubs uniform. Cubs and Pirates at PNC Park, weather permitting. Len Casper and Jim DeShays have the call in half an hour. Meanwhile, tomorrow is preseason game number 3 for the Chicago Bears. Game number 2 for the first string, but will it be game number 1 for Roquan Smith? Or would the Bears be better off holding him back until next week's all-important do-or-die next-to-last preseason game? And welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a good finish to your week. You're ready for a great weekend. I'm David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show. We have a star-studded cast for you. We've got Christopher Emma from The Score. We have Seth Gruen from the Big Ten Unfiltered.
Yeah, there you
Big
go.
Big Ten Unfiltered podcast. That's on from CBS, so we've got a lot to talk about, a lot to do. We will have baseball coming up, hopefully weather permitting, from Pittsburgh as the Cubs play game 2 of a 4-game set. Let's talk first about John Lester. He was magnificent last night. 92 pitches, 6 innings, no runs, and the Cubs got one stinking run, and it was enough. He made it stand up, plus the bullpen. He was really good.
Yeah, he was awesome. I mean, and look, this is why you paid him the big bucks to come here. He's your ace. I'd ride or die with John Lester any day of the week, and I think big game like this just affirms that.
It was very concerning the way he was going the last month. I mean, you know, he had the velocity going, but he wasn't looking like John Lester. That's the guy they need to see, and that's the guy they need to count on. Yu Darvish has got his rehab start on Sunday. They need to get him back, though. Tyler Chatwood's back on the hill on Sunday. They need consistency
Saturday.
In this rotation.
Yeah.
Saturday. Yeah, they need consistency in this rotation. That's what John Lester.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the analytics were saying things were not going well for him lately. He wasn't missing bats, and his numbers just – the regular numbers just hadn't been great. But I think we all kind of knew that John Lester was going to find a way to grind through that and be the guy that the Cubs need. Because, obviously, the way the rest of the pitching rotation shakes out, they need John Lester.
All right, let's go to Pittsburgh. That's where we find Jim DeShays, the great analyst on our Cubs broadcast. All right, J.D., so let's talk about John Lester because – while the velocity had never dropped, there was no concern of an injury. He wasn't using his off-speed stuff. You pitched in this league for a long time. What was your take on John and his four-pitch mix last night?
I think it was important for him to get back to the changeup and the curveball a little bit more. He said so as much heading into the start. And I think his issue was not that he wasn't using those pitches before, but under duress, a couple guys on base, tight situation, he was becoming very fastball cutter heavy, becoming predictable. And unless you're really just spot on with your location, you're asking for trouble. So making some mistakes with those pitches over the heart of the plate, and he got hit hard for a number of starts there, especially two starts ago. When you look at that great run he had in June when he was the pitcher of the month, it was a real nice mix of fastball, cutter, curve, and change, at least 10% with each one of those pitches. Then he kind of got away from that. Last night it was back. He used his changeup more last night than he had in quite a while, and it was a very effective pitch for him. Not just, you know, in a vacuum, a changeup as itself, but how the fastball plays off of the changeup.
Jim, are there times when you pitched, like last night with John Lester, the velocity was sitting pretty comfortably 90, 91, maybe topped out at 92, but it just looked like the same velocity had more life to it. Did you ever have those days?
Well, that's what it looked like to me, yeah, where the pitch just seems to have a little more finish. I don't know. We didn't talk too much about spin rate and things like that back in the prehistoric days when I played. But maybe there's some of that. Maybe it's finish, you know, just the way the ball is coming out of his hand with a little more movement, a little more late life. Certainly based on the swings that we saw from a number of the Pirate hitters, that appeared to be the case. Looked like he just had a little bit more jump on the ball.
Let's talk about Mike Montgomery going to the DL and Tyler Chatwood gets another shot as a starter. How big a question mark is this for the Cubs? Not only using Chatwood, but losing Montgomery.
Right, and hopefully it's only for a start or two. You never know. Shoulder inflammation, that's something that could linger. This is why they were talking about trying to limit his innings. They were fearful that something like this might happen. So I don't know. I don't know what the long run is going to be for Montgomery. Chatwood, it presents an interesting opportunity for him. Maybe a little bit of a mental break. Being out of the rotation for a little while will help him as he steps back in there. It's hard to expect great things given what has gone on with Tyler all year long. But fingers crossed, hopefully he's able to step up and perform.
Offensively, any concerns that I think 5 out of the last 10 games the Cubs have scored 2 runs or less. Last night they get one big fly off the bat of Pittsburgh Kitty and Hap, and it's enough to win. But you can't use that as a recipe going forward.
Yeah, you know, I think this team, when it's right, they're getting contributions up and down the lineup. And for a good while now, that hasn't been the case. You know, Zobrist has been really good. Baez, even though he's slumped a little bit here lately, for the most part, has been really good. Anthony's been good for a long while, especially here in the second half. But, you know, Russell, Contreras, Happ, Schwarbs, and others, there are a number of guys that are scuffling a little bit. And, you're not going to have everybody firing every single night, but they've got to get some of those other guys a little bit further down in the batting order starting to contribute. So, yeah, I would say there are some concerns. There's good track records there. There's history to suggest that they're going to be okay. But it's been down for a while now.
Last one for you. As you look at this team going forward, David Bodie has been just a huge shot in the arm. Do you see, if the playoffs started today, David Bodie in the lineup, whether he's at second base, maybe KB moves to left as Schwarber struggles and he's at third, do you see him playing a meaningful role on a playoff team as a starter?
I see him on the roster, whether he'd find his way into the lineup. It remains to be seen. I guess it would be, it would depend on who the opposing pitcher was and any number of variables. But the kid has certainly, and not just the way he's played, but the way he's handled himself, I think Joe would trust him in a big moment.
Appreciate it. Have a great broadcast with Len. We'll talk to you a little later tonight.
Very good. Great to be with you.
You too. Thanks again. There's our guy, Jim DeShays, and you'll hear he and Len Casper on the call coming up top of the hour, weather permitting. Here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Your level of concern with the Cubs' up and down offense, 5 being total freakout mode. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Seth.
My level of concern, maybe a 2. I mean, this has been an up and down offense really since this team crystallized in 2015. I mean, this is what we've been used to. This is what this team is. I think sometimes they struggle to hit breaking balls. We know they rely on guys, a guy like Javi Baez, who tends to strike out a lot. We know Schwarber has been really up and down since they won the World Series. So to me, am I concerned? That kind of is what it is.
Yeah, I still say nowhere near 5, maybe 2. I agree with Seth there. You know, it's still a deep roster of talent. Obviously, without Chris Bryant in there, you lose a little bit of that. But there's a lot of guys just underperforming a little bit right now, and you got to figure they regress more to their mean of their careers. I wouldn't be too concerned. I think the offense is fine, and it's going to be all right. It's enough, I think, to get you through the playoffs if your pitching is good.
Total freakout mode for Cubs fans? Is that a thing? Is that allowed? I still say it's about a 3. I mean, this lineup's been up and down. You see the ebbs and flows all season long. You go into a postseason series, assuming they get there, they're all set. You got to face some of the best pitchers in baseball. I mean, you can't be going cold at that time. This team's going cold against guys like Heath Philmeyer. I don't trust it in the long run. I'd say it's probably a 3. You can elevate it to a 4 even sometimes.
This is, again, I'll repeat that this is nothing new for the Cubs. And I will say this. It's very difficult to build a roster that is dominant offensively almost week in and week out. I mean, every team slumps. Where I will give Theo Epstein credit is I think they drafted and acquired players who can single-handedly carry the team through small parts of the season and the playoffs. I mean, KB can get hot. We know Rizzo can get hot. Schwarber we've seen can get hot. Contreras we've seen get hot. Javi we've seen get hot. So even though these guys slump, they have the ability to go on a 4, 5, 6-day tear. And that's what they need to hope for.
All right, we'll see. If I was voting on this, I'd probably be at a 2.
That's
I'm not with the
That's
60% at the 1, probably at a 2, because I do believe that when you get Bryant back and you get guys honed in the last 4 or 5 weeks, I think you're going to get more consistent offense. But we're going to find out because you face the best of the best when you get to the postseason. Also, Cole Hamels will pitch tonight. Tyler Chatwood will go tomorrow with Montgomery going to the DL with shoulder inflammation, hoping the Cubs are saying that it's just a short-term 10-day thing. And then Sunday, Jose Quintana. That's a guy who has struggled and has got to right the ship and quickly.
What's your what car is he right now? I haven't heard from you in a bit on this.
He's like
one.
A 2015 Buick.
He might be my car right now. I don't think that's a good thing for him. I mean, he's not been good enough. They need more from this guy. They gave up. I mean, the guy, what, top three prospect in baseball? Maybe the top prospect in baseball in Eloy Jimenez. They gave up Dylan Cease and more. They are expecting this guy to be a horse for this team. They need more from Jose Quintana. Absolutely. And it's got to start now.
All right. We will take a timeout. We'll come back. We've got a whole lot more to do on the show. We'll talk some White Sox. We'll talk some Bears. Roquan Smith. Should he play tomorrow night? I say yes. We'll hear what the panel says. That's coming up next.
On the go and can't watch the Cubs game? Remember, you can live stream all NBC Sports Chicago games. Download the NBC Sports app or watch it at NBCSportsChicago.com.
We're back to talk about the beloved Bear. Postcards from camp brought to you by our great partners at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roquan Smith has been going through workouts. Good old number 58 is signed, sealed, and delivered. So, Christopher Emma, does Roquan Smith play at all tomorrow night?
He should. I mean, look, they're talking about how this guy's behind, how he has to get ahead and get as much experience as he can. Why would you waste a chance to get NFL game speed against a team like the Broncos? Put him out there. As long as he's in game shape, which he appeared to be, the Bears are still trying to figure that out, going through their strength and conditioning process with him. He looks fine. He says he's fine. I know he's been training hard down in Athens. Get him out there. This is the best thing for him, is to get comfortable with this defense at game speed.
If he's in shape, yeah, why not? I just question whether or not he's actually ready, because there's a reason you have training camp. There's a reason there's ramp-up time.
Yeah.
And I'd hate to see him get hurt because he wasn't ready to be in a preseason game.
Yeah, I don't think you play him tomorrow night. You know, two practices, like you were talking about, there's a reason that they ramp everything up in preseason. You still have two more games left. You probably won't play him in the last one. But if you get him a half or so in that fourth game, I don't think the risk is worth it, what you're getting out of maybe a series or two of playing him tomorrow
night. How much would you play Mitchell Trubisky?
I would play him, I would think, at least a quarter.
At least a half.
You play him at least a half?
You see what the Patriots
did
last night?
Yeah, Tom Brady, but that's probably the
only time. Tom Brady was 19 of 26, played the entire first half, and they asked Belichick why. He said, because we've got new receivers and we need to develop chemistry.
Yeah, but you see what the Eagles did last night on the other sideline. They lost their backup quarterback, the guy who might be starting week one. They might have Nate Sudfeld starting week one now as a result.
Guess what? He's a football player. That's what football players do. They play.
I'd take care of Mitch, maybe a series. I hate the idea in preseason of putting a cap or limit on the amount of playing time that a guy gets. I think you go into each game wanting to accomplish certain goals, whether that's get a look at a handful of plays here or there, or develop chemistry, as you alluded to. And I think when you achieve that goal, then you pull the guy. So if they can get that done in a quarter, I'm fine with that. If they need a half, I'm fine with that too. But I don't think there's a requisite amount of time. I think you try to achieve things in preseason.
Yeah, I still think in the preseason, you're better off having your guys get healthy through the I think there's more value to keeping your guys healthy than anything they get out of a couple series in a preseason game.
And consider how much work the Bears have been doing this entire offseason installing this offense. It's still an offense that's a work in progress, and Matt Nagy said it's going to be even up until week one, but I'd be more worried about Mitchell Trubisky's health than anything else.
So it's okay for Tom Brady to play?
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that either. I would have had them out there for maybe a series. You kind of go through, you got to protect your asset at this point. I mean, Chase Daniel, nice guy. I think he's great for Mitch Trubisky.
At some point, you
can't. I don't want to start week one.
You can't be afraid to develop a guy. You can't be afraid to check those boxes you need to check in the preseason. I don't necessarily believe he could just as easily get hurt during the regular season in week one.
Yeah, of course. But
so, you know, are you avoiding injury by holding him back? Not really, because if you hold him back and then he's not ready to play, it does you no good anyways.
Don't forget they're practicing all week too down there in training camp. I think you learn.
It's different than a game.
It's different, but you're still learning.
It's different.
Yeah, he's playing it.
But you're learning without the risk of injury.
A half? I don't know.
He's not going to play
a series. The whole half?
No, he's not going to.
Hey, what if he gets hurt?
If it's okay for Tom Brady, it's okay for Mitchell freaking Trubisky.
If you see the way this offensive line has played lately, this offensive line has been a mess recently. But I mean, the offensive line has a lot of work.
You can't play scared.
You know who's on the Denver Broncos defense? Von Miller. Yeah, he's going to be coming right for Mitch Trubisky. Bradley Chubb.
I think that people...
You've got to watch out for your quarterback here.
I think
here.
People expect Mitch Trubisky to take a significant step forward this year.
True.
And part of that is taking snaps. You have to develop this guy. I think you can make a better argument for holding out Tom Brady than you could Mitch Trubisky.
I agree with that.
Is new to this offense.
But
so,
how much does he gain tomorrow relative to this entire development compared to everything he's done this offseason?
A lot, but it's
training camp.
You keep holding him out. That's fewer and fewer snaps.
Tomorrow's a big learning ability.
Yeah, I'd be scared what Bradley Chubb and Von Miller can do to him.
Okay, then he should never play. He should be in bubble wrap.
You can't play scared.
I mean, this is the preseason. I'd bubble wrap everybody. And then your season's on the line if you lose this kid.
But if he's not equipped to play on Sunday Night Football against Green Bay, when he says, I didn't get a lot of practice at this thing.
And it's not just that. You're dealing with a first-year coach and a new offense. So it's not just about Mitchell Trubisky's development, but Matt Nagy looking at what works and what doesn't.
Right,
but these guys are deciding what they like.
I think you guys are overvaluing playing in a preseason game, what it means compared to practicing and training camp.
I think you get hard data that's important and
but the defense isn't doing what they're going to show in the regular season anyways.
That's true, but I think you see you can understand timing of certain routes where Mitch Trubisky is with the receiver.
Which they can do in practice.
Where and what situations Matt Nagy likes certain plays. That to me is the most critical.
He's playing at least a half for me.
He's not.
I go quarter.
We'll see. All right. We have some news on Urban Meyer and Ohio State. Brett McMurphy dropping a bombshell report this afternoon. We'll get to that in a minute. Ohio State has announced that they will have a decision on the fate of the football coach Urban Meyer on Sunday. They said they'd have this done within 14 days, and they said today they will have this investigation completed by Sunday. Then, a few minutes after that, Brett McMurphy hits send on his Twitter button and has a new, far more salacious report that says Zach Smith allegedly had sex toys sent to the football office, had sex with a football staffer, took X-rated photos during the team's visit to the White House when President Obama had them visit in 2015. Wow!
Yeah, this is very, very good.
Wow!
But, it's like you said, it's salacious. I think it's a sidebar. I don't think it has any impact on the decision regarding Urban Meyer one way or another.
Hold on a minute. What if Urban knew?
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying he did. I'm saying what if he knew? What if it was a running joke that sex toys were being sent to the office? Do you know that to be a fact or not? I don't.
I don't think. I think potentially knowing that one of your staff members is abusing his wife is far more egregious.
Agreed.
And that's the issue at hand. You take that away if this story was broken that Zach Smith was ordering sex toys to the Woody Hayes Athletic Center and Urban Meyer knew about it. It's a non-issue. It's not a story.
Oh, disagree. On top of everything we already know?
On top of everything we already know, yes. But I'm saying in a vacuum, this doesn't matter. The issue at hand is whether or not Urban Meyer knew Zach Smith was beating his wife. That's the story. Ordering sex toys does no harm to anybody physically. It does harm to his marriage.
Okay, what if the investigator said to him, Urban, do you know anything else that Zach might have been doing that was out of bounds? Nope, no idea. I haven't heard anything.
But
oh,
that's
really?
Not illegal, Cap. I mean, we're talking about the difference
it's
between
not illegal,
legal
but
and
it,
illegal.
I would have a real problem if when my son was playing college football, they were shipping sex toys to the football office.
Well, yeah.
That's someone's private business. Send it to your house.
Look, it's weird. It's disgusting. It's repulsive, especially because he's married.
And if he's taking X-rated photos at the White House and that football coach did nothing about this guy, that's a problem.
There are bigger problems as it pertains to Zach Smith and this entire saga.
But what I'm saying is it's all on top of everything else.
This is a sidebar. No, it's a sidebar. It just it further discredits this guy. That's what it does. This part of the story is about Zach Smith. It's not about Urban Meyer. The part about Urban Meyer is whether or not he allowed the abusive behavior to continue.
and whether or not he continued to enable Zach Smith. That's the story at hand, and this shouldn't deter us from focusing on that.
Right,
aspect.
I agree. I'm more along the lines that we already knew Zach Smith was a bad guy. There's lots of evidence, seemingly, that defends that, and I don't think this particular situation makes it any more likely that Urban Meyer gets fired because of this. But I think this is just more of everybody in this program, and I think this happens in a lot of college football programs, thinking they're above the law, above everything.
Well,
they can do whatever they want. I can get sex toys delivered to the office. I can take pictures at the White House. I can do whatever I want and get away with it. It just seems like that is a culture.
Yeah, and we can sit here and blame Urban Meyer all we want, and we should. He deserves it. But this is an institutional problem in college football. Would I fire him? Yes. Do I think he's going to get fired? No.
Yeah, I agree with everything Seth just said there. When you mentioned it to me off air as I was coming in that this report came out, and my first reaction was Urban's gone. I mean, he's got to be gone. And then you consider it, everything what Seth had just said, it's a separate issue from what's being investigated and what really matters, which is whether Urban Meyer knew that Coach Zach Smith was being abusive to his wife and whether he was presenting harm to others. It's bad. It's a bad reflection of Urban Meyer and Ohio State, and certainly an even worse reflection of Zach Smith. None of that matters, though. It piles on to this guy's reputation. We knew he was a bad guy, as Matt said. Now we know he's kind of a creep as well.
I think he gets suspended for the non-conference season, and that's his punishment.
Right. Another start, another outstanding outing from Michael Kopech. Is he ready for the major leagues, or does he need a long winter off before he cranks it up next year and heads to the big leagues? Meanwhile, we will hopefully have Cubs baseball tonight. Tarp on the field. The start will be delayed. And there's more rain on the way. We'll keep you posted on Sports Talk Live.
Are you a White Sox authentic fan? We want to hear from you. Every authentic fan night, we designate one winner as the fan of the game, which includes tickets to the game, meet and greets, plus an authentic game day experience. Enter for your chance to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/WhiteSoxAF.
Michael Kopech was on NBC Sports Chicago last night. This guy is just filthy. Didn't walk a batter. He was magnificent. How good do you think this guy is? And do you think he's coming up this year?
I wish I had the answer on that. He should be up. I mean, look at him.
No shot.
No way.
No way.
I agree. Wait, do you think he's coming up?
A month ago.
I don't think he is, and I don't think he should.
You don't think he should?
A month ago, he had serious control issues. Yeah. And we know that that's plagued him his entire professional career.
Yeah. So I'll see you next season.
Why start his clock?
You're referring just solely to the service time. I mean, he's ready, right?
I don't think he's ready.
Even if he is ready, there's no reason to use up the bullets in that golden right arm until next year on a team that has nothing to play for.
I agree in terms of the service time, no question. I thought you were saying you don't think he's ready. I mean, he's absolutely ready in terms of his stuff and his potential, but I respect the service time process, so I don't necessarily agree with it from the player's perspective, but I think he'd be ready to go out there and pitch really well in the big leagues.
Yeah, the only reason I think you do bring him up is it throws a bone to your fans, but, you know, they'll understand if it helps him down the road.
You don't feed the animals cookies. You wait. All right, you guys have a great weekend. We're taking a break. Up next, we'll have an update from Pittsburgh. Cubs and Pirates will start in LA, so we'll be back with a little bit more Sports Talk Live. Doug Glanville will join us to talk Cubs.